Fatima Center presents Faith, Salvation, and Humility, a 5-day Lenten mission directed by Father Michael Rodriguez. This is the conference given on the 4th day. 10 ways to grow in faith. We continue to ponder, how can we grow in the supernatural gift of faith? For this, we need the proper dispositions in our soul and powerful means of salvation. Prayer, meditation, and Holy Mass are all deeply related to faith. We could even say, our Lord chose to abide with us, His real presence in the Holy Eucharist, so that we would, in faith, believe.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please kneel. To each of the truths, I ask that you respond, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God, infinitely perfect, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is eternal, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is immutable, He is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is omniscient, He knows all things. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is omnipresent, He is present everywhere. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is infinitely holy. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is infinitely just. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is the God of perfect truth. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is supremely merciful and compassionate. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is supremely patient. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is supremely faithful. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is all-powerful. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is infinitely wise. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is supremely good. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In His work of creation, God is infinitely powerful, wise, and good. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In His work of redemption, God is infinitely powerful, wise, and good. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In His work of sanctification, God is infinitely powerful, wise, and good. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In all His works, God is infinitely wise, just, and good. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In the truths He reveals, God is infinitely wise and good. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In His commandments, God is infinitely powerful, wise, and good. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In His sacraments, God is infinitely powerful, wise, and good. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In His judgments, God is infinitely powerful, wise, and good. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In His saints, God is infinitely powerful, wise, and good. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You may be seated. We continue this evening where we left off yesterday. The key question being, how can we grow in the supernatural virtue of faith? And the first way is to value the priceless gift of faith and to value it above everything else. Jesus Christ, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, highlights the all-importance of faith. We could say that Jesus chose to remain with us in the Blessed Sacrament so that we may believe. Because thou hast seen Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. We're not able to touch the glorious wounds of our Savior Jesus Christ the way that the apostle did. But most certainly our Lord continues to be truly present among us. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. As I spoke to you about this at the beginning of the Lenten mission, ultimately there is one thing that is necessary. And obviously if there's one thing that's necessary, this is the most important thing. There's nothing more important in our lives here on this earth than the one thing that is necessary, and that's to save your soul and get to heaven. And the door and the path to save your soul and get to heaven is the door of faith and the path of faith. That by itself should help you and motivate you and encourage you to value the priceless gift of faith. It is faith which will save your soul and get you to heaven. Again, without faith, you cannot save your soul and you cannot get to heaven. Listen to the first words of the great Athanasian Creed. Quote, whoever wishes to be saved must before all else adhere to the Catholic faith. He must preserve this faith whole and untarnished. Otherwise he shall most certainly perish forever. This is our mission, to preserve this faith whole and untarnished, pure and complete, a universal faith, as we mentioned yesterday. And the Fourth Council of Constantinople, this is in the year of our Lord 869, taught the following, and this was reaffirmed by the First Vatican Council, 1869 to 1870, quote, the first condition of salvation is to maintain the rule of the true faith. Close quote. In other words, the foundation of our salvation, the very first and foundational condition, we have to believe the truths that God has revealed through His church. We have to maintain the rule of the true faith. Hopefully, all of that is sufficient to convince you of how precious the gift of faith is. It's our greatest treasure. What else can we do to grow in the supernatural virtue of faith? Well, as a consequence of the priceless value of faith, what we have to do is we absolutely must pray so that God will preserve our faith and will help us to persevere in faith. We have to pray so that we never lose this gift and so that it always grows stronger in our mind and in our heart. So basically number two is we have to pray for faith. The prayer of the apostles. Luke chapter 17, verse 5, Lord, increase my faith. Pray for the grace to preserve your faith. There are always going to be times where our faith comes under attack, when our faith is threatened, when we are tempted to believe and to trust things that are not truths that are revealed by God. We have to pray for the grace to preserve our faith and to persevere in the faith, in spite of all the dangers that beset it. Also related to this, implore God's help for the conversion of apostates, heretics, and unbelievers. all those who in one way or another either never had the faith or lost the faith or have gone contrary to the faith, and pray for the spread of the one true faith. So basically you're praying for the gift of faith for yourself, for those who need it most, and praying for the spread of the one true faith, praying that God will give you the grace to persevere in the faith to the end and to preserve your faith. Number three, and again, this is also related to valuing the priceless gift of faith. Number three, always make an effort to give thanks to God for the faith, for the one true Catholic faith and for the faith that He's given you. Many of us that are here, maybe all of us that are here, we were given the great grace of being born into the one true faith. That in itself is already a tremendous grace and blessing. And we should always be grateful to God for that grace. So again, make it a point to give thanks to God for the faith that He's given you, for the fact that you have been baptized a Catholic, for the fact that you don't struggle like maybe a lot of others may struggle to accept the one true Catholic faith. Give thanks for that gift. St. Alphonsus Liguori, Doctor of the Church, he says the following with regard to this, with regard to gratitude to God for the gift of faith, quote, "Let us thank God from the bottom of our hearts for having bestowed upon us the inestimable gift of faith." St. Francis de Sales once said, "O God, exceedingly great and numerous are the benefits which Thou hast given me. But how shall I ever be able to thank Thee for having bestowed on me the light of holy faith?" And again, "The dignity of our holy faith is so great that I would gladly lay down my life for it. Let us thank God unceasingly for this wonderful grace." Close quote. Again, those final words of St. Alphonsus Liguori, "Let us thank God unceasingly for this wonderful grace." So again, that's 1, 2, and 3. We move on to number 4. Number 4, cultivate the proper dispositions in your soul. Again, this is key, because God is not going to force the one true faith upon us. We have to make the free decision. I believe. Faith is a free gift of God, as we've already spoken about. Without question, God gives me everything I need to believe. Again, because He is infinitely good, infinitely loving. He gives me everything I need to believe, but I must cooperate with God's grace and believe of my own free will. I have to cultivate the proper dispositions in my soul in order to believe and in order to be able to grow in my faith and to persevere in my faith. And I've already mentioned these, but three main proper dispositions in your soul to help you to grow in faith are, number 1, humility, 2, self-denial. We have to learn to deny ourselves even in the small things, because then we're not going to be able to deny ourselves when it comes to bigger things and bigger things that have to do with true faith. That means rejecting falsehoods, rejecting things that are not of God. So, humility, self-denial, and detachment from the world. The more we are detached from the world, the more we will also be able to detach ourselves from a worldly way of thinking and a worldly way of acting. This is one of the biggest obstacles to be able to persevere in our faith and to grow in our faith. That rather than thinking, speaking, acting, according to our faith, we think, we speak, we act according to our sinful flesh, according to the ways of the world. St. Alphonsus Liguori, doctor of the church, he teaches the following. And what he's going to explain to us here is, again, first he's going to speak to us of the all importance of salvation. And then he tells us, it's not enough to just want to be saved. You have to do your part, basically. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but basically you have to do your part to be saved. And he says, God gives us the means of grace. Well, what we have to do is we have to make use of those means of grace. And so he speaks specifically of the means of preserving grace. But really, it's the same thing as also the means of growing in faith. So exactly what St. Alphonsus Liguori here is saying, these are the means of preserving grace. These are also six great means of growing in faith. So, these are the words of St. Alphonsus Liguori, quoting him. We must be fully persuaded that in order to obtain eternal salvation, it is not enough to wish to be saved, but we must further take the means which have been left us by Jesus Christ. If we commit sins, it will not help us on the day of judgment to excuse ourselves by saying that the temptations were great and we were weak. Because God has given us through His grace the means to conquer all the assaults of our enemies. If then we will not take advantage of them and are overcome, the fault is our own. All men desire to be saved, but because they do not employ the means of salvation, they sin and are lost. The first means of preserving grace is to avoid all occasions of sin. The second means is mental prayer. The third means is frequenting the sacraments of confession and communion. The fourth means is to hear Mass every day. The fifth means is to make a visit every day to the Blessed Sacrament in some church, and to the Blessed Mother before some devout image. The sixth means is holy prayer. It is a common opinion of the Fathers and of St. Thomas that without prayer, it is impossible to persevere in grace and to save oneself. Again, I'll reread that line. I'm just going to again replace faith with persevere in grace. It is a common opinion of the Fathers and of St. Thomas that without prayer, it is impossible to persevere in faith and to save oneself. But he who prays is sure of God's help. St. Teresa says that out of her desire to see everyone saved, she would have wished to go to the top of a mountain and then to cry out as to be heard by all men, nothing but these words, pray, pray. So, the six means that St. Alphonsus highlights of preserving grace. These are six means of salvation. This is how you're going to save your soul. This is also how you are going to grow in faith. And those six means, again, are avoid all occasions of sin. I'm listing that one as number 5 because in our list we're at number 5. Again, number 1 was to value the priceless gift of faith. 2 was to pray for faith, pray to be able to persevere in faith. 3 is to also pray for faith, but specifically to thank God for the great gift of faith. 4 is to cultivate the proper dispositions in your soul. For example, humility, self-denial, detachment from the world. So then number 5, now we move into what we just quoted St. Alphonsus Liguori on. Number 5, avoid all occasions of sin. 6, mental prayer. 7, confession and Holy Communion. 8, Holy Mass. 9, daily visit to the Blessed Sacrament and to the Blessed Virgin Mary. 10, Holy Prayer. Now, think for a moment. None of these, and again, I'm referring now to numbers 5 through 10, the 6 means that St. Alphonsus lists. None of these make sense to the worldly mindset. To all of those souls that are consumed by the world and that live in the world, none of these 6 make sense. And that's why so often they don't do them. Avoid all occasions of sin. They don't even recognize sin for what sin is. They don't recognize the malice of what sin is. And in faith, again, remember also what St. John Hughes tells us about faith. He tells us that the gift of faith is so great that faith allows us to see reality. I mean, what really is reality, namely, faith allows us to see things as God sees them. And again, this is something remarkable because this is something truly infinitely higher than how I can see and perceive things, again, with my puny little mind and my puny little reason. And in terms of sin, in the eyes of God, clearly there is no greater evil in the world than sin. And so we have to even avoid even the occasions of sin. If we know that going to a certain place or going to spend time with certain people, if we know that that is going to put us in a situation where we're tempted and where especially in the past we've fallen in the past, it doesn't make any sense to be placing ourselves in that near occasion of sin. That's also why when you pray the act of contrition, when you're expressing how truly sorrowful you are to God for having offended Him, why part of your act of contrition, your prayer of sorrow, act of contrition, a prayer of sorrow, why part of it is specifically that you're promising to avoid the near occasions of sin. But this doesn't make any sense to the souls that are consumed by the world. They're worried about having a good time and enjoying themselves, being led by the senses, not by faith. Mental prayer, and I'll join real quickly just right now, mental prayer and holy prayer, prayer in general, and let's say a more meditative meditation prayer. It's so often the case that when we pray, it's difficult for us. And we don't necessarily, let's say, feel, you know, God's presence or the effects of God's grace. And because we're so attached, again, to our senses and to our feelings, we get frustrated and we don't pray as well as we should. We don't persevere in prayer as we should. But always remember that one of the reasons why our Savior Jesus Christ has given us the great gift of prayer, especially the holy sacrifice of the Mass, is precisely because He wants us to grow in faith. Blessed are they who have not seen and still believe. Blessed is the one who prays, even when he thinks his prayers aren't being answered. Blessed is the one who prays when he's tired and doesn't feel like praying. Because again, you can put into that equation, it's not just blessed are those who have not seen. That's only one of our senses. Blessed are those who have not, who don't feel, who don't, blessed are those who don't hear, etc., etc. Confession and Holy Communion. Confession and Holy Communion, again, all of these things, they require faith and they're going to help us immensely to be able to grow in faith. Especially if we value these And we should value these six means of grace that St. Alphonsus Liguori points out to us. We should also value them as great, as pearls of great value, because they're very much related to faith. If faith is such a precious gift, and you don't want to lose it, and you want to preserve it, and you want to grow in that gift, well, these means of growing in grace, you're also going to value them. Basically, you could almost say you're, in a sense, kind of valuing them as much as the gift of faith, because that's precisely what's going to give you that faith and help you to grow in your faith. Confession and Holy Communion, Holy Mass, and a daily visit to the Blessed Sacrament and to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Think about how often we make visits to other people. We visit our friends, we visit our family and friends when they're sick. We're always visiting. We visit with each other after Mass, for example. And how many souls visit the ones who are the most important, Jesus and Mary? It takes faith. But that's why also St. Alphonsus Liguori highlights that. Visiting Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, visiting the Blessed Virgin Mary. But again, like I tell you, I want you to make particular note of how, in a very real way, all of these are, we could call them, divine things. They're not things that are going to attract the attention of the world. And yet they are what is far, far, far more important. We have to learn also to set our hearts, think of it this way, to set our hearts on these six things. Set your heart on avoiding all occasions of sin. Set your heart on mental prayer. Set your heart on confession and Holy Communion. And obviously on doing all of these well. Set your heart on Holy Mass. Set your heart on visiting Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and visiting, making a visit to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Set your heart on prayer. Just a few words about prayer. Prayer may be defined in the following way, quote, an elevation of our soul to God. Just in that very beginning of the definition, that's a great exercise of faith. You're elevating your soul to God, not to anything of this world. And again, all the time, our senses and our feelings, basically all the time, they're focused on this world. Here, when you're talking about prayer, it's an elevation of our soul to God, to offer Him our homage and ask His favors in order to grow in holiness for His glory. And we could also there say, in order to grow in faith for His glory. The person who is faithful to prayer and does his best to pray with piety, to pray with fervor, to pray with faith, will certainly grow in faith. The elevation of your soul to God, we can say that this is a fundamental exercise of the supernatural virtue of faith. Now, I'll make a very quick reference to the rite of baptism. In the rite of baptism, again, it begins outside of the church, and the first thing that is asked for of God through the church, what do you ask of God's church? What do you ask of God? The gift of faith. And then what happens is, as the infant is led into the church by the priest, accompanied by godparents and parents, note the two, we can call them the two fundamental exercises of the supernatural virtue of faith. Credo, Pater Noster. That's what's prayed. That's what is being prayed in the rite of baptism. Begins with Credo in Unum Deum, the creed is prayed. And then, at the end of the praying of the creed, the Pater Noster. We could say, The great prayer representing prayer, the prayer that our Lord Himself taught His apostles. And in this, we are guided and helped by the church. You know, the priest praying the credo, the priest praying the Pater Noster, parents and godparents joining in these prayers. But I highlight this to you because there in the rite of baptism, the rite of baptism is already teaching us that these are the two fundamental exercises of one's faith. True belief. Believing in the truths revealed by God. That's what we're doing when we're praying credo. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Believing in the truths of the faith. Fundamental exercise of the virtue of faith. And then prayer. Pater Noster, qui es in celis. The whole point here is that for us as Catholics to be faithful to the grace of our baptism and as to live as true Catholics, what makes us Catholics, our baptism, we have to believe the truth and we have to pray. And again, obviously that then is going to help us grow in faith and that's going to guarantee our salvation. The soul that perseveres in the true faith, credo in unum Deum. The soul that perseveres in the true prayer, Pater Noster, guaranteed to get to heaven. That's also what the rite of baptism is teaching us and promising us. Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi says the following about prayer. She says, quote, prayer ought to be humble. The two are also very much related, the virtue of humility and prayer. Just as I'm saying, pray, because praying is going to help you to grow in your faith, it's also going to help you to grow in humility. Prayer is also meant to humble us, to make us humble, to make us trust more and more in God, and not in our own feelings, not in our own reason, not thinking that, well, again, one of the most common temptations in prayer is we fail to pray and to persevere in prayer because we think, well, it doesn't seem like God's answering my prayers. A call to faith, a call to greater faith, a call to greater humility. So St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi says, quote, prayer ought to be humble, fervent, resigned. Again, that resigned means resigned to God's will, not your will. That's, again, the big problem in prayer. We go into prayer wanting our will to be done. It's true. One of the major purposes of prayer, I mean, this is why Jesus has given us prayer, is to detach us from our own will. And that's why a lot of times there's going to be all kinds of different, you can say, spiritual struggles when we try to pray. So prayer ought to be humble, fervent, resigned, persevering, and accompanied with great reverence. Remember this, because I'm going to kind of zero in on this. Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi says that prayer ought to be accompanied with great reverence. Why? Prayer's not something to just be doing, you know, oh, I quickly got to zip through these prayers. And yes, it's fine. I mean, again, there are many times when we may not be able to put all our attention to prayer. For example, if we're driving somewhere and we're praying the rosary, obviously that's something very good. But it's very important that we also set aside time where we can, let's say, 100% put our focus on prayer and to do it with great reverence. Why? Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi tells us. Hopefully some of you know the answer. One should consider that he stands in the presence of a God and speaks with a Lord before whom the angels tremble from awe and fear. When we pray, and again here, pay close attention because the problem is that so often we pray with a very weak faith. And that's also why our prayer so often is not that efficacious. Because prayer is not just saying words. Remember, prayer is an elevation of our soul to God. That's a fundamental exercise of faith. And that means that you truly believe that you are placing yourself in the presence of God in a very special and unique way. And that's why St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi is saying that prayer ought to be accompanied with great reverence, because you should be thinking about, you should be believing that you stand in the presence of God. You're speaking with a Lord, listening to the Lord before whom the angels tremble from awe and fear. I want to emphasize this because it has to do with what we call the presence of God. Being aware of the presence of God. This is something also that's very relevant to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Because it's one of the, I would say, major, major flaws in the new Mass and in the changes that were made to the Mass. That there's been a terrible loss of a sense of the presence of God. And especially at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, a unique presence of God. The moment that I enter into the house of God, I'm in a sacred place. Because here is where God becomes present in an altogether unique way. And this is why traditionally the Catholic Church has always told us that it's very important the way that we dress. We have to dress in a way that shows that reverence for the presence of God. And again, that's why it's ridiculous. I've heard the excuses made of things like, well, you know, God is everywhere, and so, you know, you don't have to dress in a special way at Mass, and God doesn't worry about the way that you dress, and okay, God loves you anyway, all kinds of different things. But, I mean, I say ridiculous excuses because it's a failure to admit the fact that we have lost a sense of the presence of God. That we truly believe that. Because when one truly believes that, no question it's going to affect the way then that I behave at Mass, the way that I come dressed for Mass, the way that I prepare for Mass. Obviously, the theme of the presence of God, well, it's even more concentrated in Mass and in the Holy Eucharist, where, again, in a completely unique way, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is present. Let me just read to you a few words about, a little bit of a description about mental prayer. Because one of the things about mental prayer, and hopefully you can adapt this whenever you pray, is that in mental prayer you can also think of it as meditation. In order to meditate well, the very first step is what we call you place yourself in the presence of God. You make yourself aware. God is here. He is my Lord and my God. He is the most important one in my life. He's the most important in the entire universe. But here's just a brief little description on mental prayer. Mental prayer is a pious reflection on some supernatural truth or event. So you're reflecting on a truth of the faith. A lot of times we can meditate on heaven, hell, death, judgment. St. Alphonsus Liguori tells us that the most important theme to meditate on is the passion and death of our Lord. Obviously, this is a great supernatural truth event. If we meditate on the passion and death of our Lord, certainly we can meditate on the Mass, on what's taking place at Mass. Many times when we meditate, for example, on what sin really is. We can meditate on, for example, the different sacraments, even the commandments of God. But it's a pious reflection on some supernatural truth or event. This is why it's very much related also to faith. Because as you're thinking about and reflecting on these truths of the faith, it's helping you to believe more and more in those truths. And to also be grateful to God, to give thanks to God for the wonderful gifts that He gives us. I mean, this is also what we're reflecting on when we're thinking about these, again, you know, supernatural truths. But we say supernatural truths or events because it's also, you know, very good to meditate, for example, on the mysteries of the Rosary. To meditate on the great event of the Annunciation, the Visitation. These are, in a sense, supernatural events. Obviously also natural events, they took place, they all took place historically. But there's also supernatural things going on at the Annunciation, the coming of the Archangel Gabriel. Mental prayer is a pious reflection on some supernatural truth or event united with reference and application to ourselves. We try to apply it to ourselves. How does this apply to me? In order to thereby excite in us certain pious sentiments, for example, contrition, humility, faith, hope, charity, and then to move our will to form good resolutions conformable to these pious sentiments. So put very simply, what meditation is we're reflecting, we're thinking about certain truths of our faith. And again, a lot of times focused on God. God is infinitely good. He's always taking care of me. He's always faithful to me. He's always faithful to His promises. And then I reflect, I'm thinking about that. In order to kind of excite in my heart pious sentiments, love of God, greater faith in God, greater trust in God, contrition for my sins, again, humility. And then this moves me to then make certain resolutions. I make decisions. Now that I've reflected, for example, on how much God loves me, and how one of the signs of how much He loves me is that Jesus Himself has given me His precious body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. And then as part of my meditation, I'm expressing my love to Jesus. Jesus, I love Thee, present in the Blessed Sacrament. And then I end up making the resolution. I'm going to be more faithful to Mass. I'm going to make an effort to get to Mass a little bit earlier. I'm going to make it a goal to get to Mass 5 minutes earlier, 10 minutes earlier, so that I can be a little bit more recollected. And when we say to be more recollected, banish away all of my worldly concerns and worldly thoughts. I'm going to be a little more recollected. And in this way, I'm going to be able to enter into the mystery of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with greater faith. Meditation is a great means to salvation. It aids us powerfully in the pursuit of our destiny, to know God, to love Him, to serve Him, that we may be happy with Him forever. It helps us to know ourselves and to discover the means of avoiding and correcting our vices, our faults and weaknesses. It reveals to us the dangers to which our salvation is exposed and leads us to pray with a contrite and humble heart for the necessary graces to cope with temptations, to control our passions, and to lead a holy life. Mental prayer inflames our hearts with the love of God and strengthens us to do His holy will with zeal and perseverance. Well, how are we doing here? I was supposed to at least get to the Mass and the Holy Eucharist here, and I haven't quite made it. All right, well, we'll end for now. We're going to continue with the Holy Hour. I had hoped to say a little bit about this before the Holy Hour, but I'll just say just one very quick word, and that's, it is especially in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and in the real presence of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, where He's calling us to faith and He's calling us to believe in Him. Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. Let us pray. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I ask pardon of thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I ask pardon of thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I ask pardon of thee for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Dominus vobiscum, cum spiritu tuo. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maneat semper. Amen.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. We encourage you to participate in our 100 by 100 First Saturday Challenge. For the consecration of Russia and triumph of the Immaculate Heart, we earnestly desire to offer Our Lady a spiritual bouquet of 100,000 First Saturdays by the 100th anniversary of her request for this devotion, December 10th, 2025. Sign up and update your progress at fatima.org/100by100. Each First Saturday, Our Lady asks us to make a good confession within 8 days, receive Holy Communion, pray the Rosary, and meditate for 15 minutes on the mysteries of the Rosary. Offering each of these acts in reparation for the blasphemies and offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Please include the Fatima Center among those apostolates to whom you send a portion of your monthly tithe. Regular monthly donors are vital for our continuing operation. Visit our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. Thank you, and may God reward you. Immaculate Heart of Mary, be our salvation.